Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, how's everybody today? Day before Christmas Eve. It's the Eve before Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve Eve. How's everybody doing out there? I know it's not the ideal Christmas that we all wanted, but we're going to make do with what we have in front of us, and we're also going to be grateful and thankful for what we do have because there's so many who don't have anything this year. So before we start, I'd like to just say thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWD Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and other stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oka Harbor in New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, Cloyden Designs in New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC in New York, The Observer Newspaper in Kearny, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, and GenieBottles.com. And we're going to welcome our new sponsor, H21 Hand Sanitizer, and they're sending us over some products, and we're going to give it away to you guys. So tonight we have a great show. We've got pop singer-songwriter Simon Lunch joining us. We're going to play a couple of his new songs for you. So I believe Simon's on the phone. Simon, is that you?
Hey, Joanne. How you doing?
Hi, hon. How you doing? Thanks so much for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, well, I just said it's Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful night. I think only slightly less wonderful than tomorrow night will be.
Yes, exactly. Just a little bit less, right? So how's the weather where you are? You still in California?
Yeah, I'm in California right now near San Francisco. It's a little chilly, but like, I think as Californians, chilly doesn't really mean much because it's, you know, it gets anywhere below like 55 degrees, and like everyone out here is feeling the winter, and most people, that's nothing. So it's a little chilly, it's a little windy. I'm kind of a summer guy myself, but it's still a wonderful, wonderful day out here, and I'm just grateful to be healthy and safe.
Right. So you are from Berkeley, I believe, right?
Yeah, I am.
And now, that's fairly close to Haight, isn't it? Haight-Ashbury?
Yeah, Haight-Ashbury is, yeah, it's in the city, and Berkeley is about 15 minutes from there on a good day, but, you know, it's if you're going at work hours, it can take an hour and a half just to get about a mile. So it just depends on when you're driving. But, yeah, I've spent a lot of time over there, a lot of time in the city. Obviously, it's nice that it's close. But Berkeley itself, too, is just a great place to grow up and to live. It's hard to leave.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you look fairly young to me, and I'm not going to ask your age, but you look fairly young. So I'm wondering if you spent any time at Haight and Ashbury around that area and got any musical influence while you were there. Or did the music change now on that area? Well, obviously,
I mean,
the music has changed, but I'm just saying the feel and the vibe.
Yeah.
Did it change?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously know because you're asking the question that there's a pretty big musical history in that area and honestly in the Bay Area as a whole. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I obviously, you know, I have heard so much of the Grateful Dead and Chris Isaak and Van Morrison and all those guys growing up. You know, there's even, you know, Phil Lesh has a place called Terrapin Crossroads that's close. I've played a lot at Bob Weir's place, Sweetwater Music Hall, which is actually not in San Francisco, but in Mill Valley, which is very close. And, you know, there is definitely an inherent influence growing up around that stuff. My music, I think if I've gotten anything from that, which I definitely have picked up a lot, it's really just like the artistry that goes on in this area is just like, it's so, so lush with that kind of thing. And there's so much to be, to learn from, and there's so much that you're influenced by and can experience just walking around, and whether you're looking at street art or you're talking to people, there's just so many different things. And obviously, I think I've been very influenced just by a bit of the jam band thing that's happened. I know that when I go and play live, one of the things that I love to do is like, I'll sit there and riff on a solo for 10 minutes if it feels right. And every show is a little bit different. Like you mentioned, I'm a little bit more pop, than some of those guys, but man, it's been, like I said, I definitely don't take for granted growing up here. It's a great place to grow up, and you're exposed to so much amazing music, you know.
Right. Well, now, I hate to bring up the age thing again, but when did you start actually playing? Because you're very established for such a young guy.
Well,
I mean, you're talented for a young guy. You're really talented. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I started playing guitar when I was 5, so...
Really?
I think by the time, it's been most of my life, the great, great majority of my life, I've had a guitar in my hands and I've been writing songs, and I wasn't always very good at it. and I'm still a long way from where I want to be, but so I think by the time I was, you know, 10, 11, I had a band going and we would play little shows, and that, funny enough, that kind of just built very naturally into playing a lot more and even more and going into the studio and learning how to record. And now, you know, here we are, and I know you have an ask, but I'll just say I'm 22 and I've now played a ton and recorded a ton and am now making my own solo stuff, which has been great fun. And I can't imagine my life without music or guitar in it, you know.
Yeah, considering your age, I wasn't going to ask you your age. I could see you're very, very young. I mean, 22, you're going to be my son. But, I mean, I can't believe that's such the amazing talent that you have for such a young age. Now, when you were 5, you're probably fooling around until, you know, 5 and a half. So, well, did you learn, or are you play by ear?
A bit of both. I've had a lot of different teachers and a lot of different types of teachers. I mean, when I first picked up a guitar, it was very much for the first few months all by ear. And I, to me, it was like there was no separation between playing the guitar and writing songs. So as soon as I picked it up, I was trying to write songs and sort of bring something out of myself. And I was just I wasn't good at it like anyone else. It's not, you know, not something that you pick up and you're immediately good at, but I just had that drive to want to write. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, practice
right.
makes perfect.
Is anyone else in the family musically talented as well, or in?
Well, my family loves music. My mom, when she was younger, did play some guitar and some piano. She no longer plays, but that being said, there was a piano that sat in my living room my whole childhood that was her aunt's Steinway that she inherited, and it just sat there, and so I would mess with that, and she had an old classical guitar in the closet that I would pick up and fool around on until I got my own. And then my dad, although he doesn't play, he had a huge record collection, and everyone was always playing music. You know, we had a stereo system and we listened to music in the car, and like it was pretty much synonymous with anything we were doing at the time. So I just heard it a lot, you know, and I really liked it.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, let's ask you this: between 5 and 10, what were you playing on the guitar? What type of music were you playing? A little bit of everything, or did you stick to one listening to? What was it? What were you listening to? I mean, if Dad had all these records, you had to pick up from there. So what were you playing?
Well, from the stack of records, I was playing a lot of Beatles and Beach Boys. I loved both of those bands. Like, I remember going to school, third, fourth, fifth grade, and, like, every day on the way to school, I would have the Beach Boys or the Beatles on. So, like, I just knew all those songs totally by heart, every word of every single one, and I would go home and learn them on the guitar. And then other than that, I was also at that time, there was a period of about probably a year and a half where I, like, did a bit of classical training on the guitar. So I was also playing quite a bit of classical guitar at that time, although as it turned out, it was really the electric guitar that I wanted to play as a kid. So once I got that, I was like, you know, it's like off to the races. A lot of old stuff. I love the old stuff. I love Bob Dylan. I love Van Morrison. You know, that's like what I grew up on. And Eric Clapton and all those guys.
Yeah. It's very rare for someone your age to say that they grew up on that music these days, because nowadays nobody even knows that stuff. You know, it's crazy. But as a musician, if you don't experience it, I don't think you can be a great musician. You have to experience the greats. You have to, you know, to get that. It's a big influence, you know. So, I mean, that's great music. So, you know, so what was the name
totally
of your first band? What was the name of your first band?
My first band was called the Blondies. And actually, I was in that band. There were some member changes along the way, but that band actually, like I said, sort of started. I was about 10 years old, and we just, you know, were playing in my house. And we started playing a few shows, and I was in that band until I was 18 and a half, 19 years old. And we ended up touring a lot and actually making a lot of records. That ended up being a pretty big thing, and that's where I sort of gained a bit of my bass that now has even bled over into my solo stuff. But even in the band, I was the primary songwriter and producer and the lead singer. The one thing that I didn't do in the band that I do a lot more of now is play lead guitar. So in the band, I was sort of the rhythm guitar player, and I, you know, was a bit more passive on the instrument. And now I think in my music, I have a lot more of an identity as a lead player. But
were the other kids the same age, or were they older in the band Blondies when you started?
It was a mix. There was a few that were just the same age as me, and then a few that were 2 years older. That was interesting because I guess one and 2 years older, and that was interesting because you know, as we got older and when I graduated high school, I sort of always knew, and then my family knew, all my teachers knew, that I was going to play music full time. I wasn't going to go to school. And a few of the other members were already in college. And many of them, when I graduated, took time off so that we could tour just full time. Because, you know, it's hard. You can't be in school and also play a ton of gigs and do that whole thing. So many of them took time off, and sort of part of the reason the band came to an end is because a few of them realized they wanted to finish school, and that's great. We all totally support each other. But obviously at that point I couldn't stop. So there was a period of time when I kind of realized that, and everyone realized that. And the songs that I was writing for the band, I sort of realized, oh, these next songs are actually going to be Simon songs and not Blondie songs.
Cool. I have one more question about being young, and then I'll get off the age thing. I'm fascinated by it because I can't believe I'm just fascinated that many kids are into the classics, like I said, you know. But now, did your friends think you were weird listening to that type of music, and did you turn them on to it, like the Beach Boys? I mean, at your age, did you turn all your friends onto the Beatles and the Beach Boys, or did they think, oh man, what the hell is he listening to? We're listening to Britney Spears, and he's listening to this. What, you know?
I mean, honestly, I think I turned a lot of my friends on to music when I was younger. I had this playlist especially like by the time I got to high school, there was just a playlist with my name on it. It was just called Simon. And it was literally like a collection of probably like 6 or 7 years of music that I was listening to. And yeah, you've got Beatles on there, Beach Boys, Van Morrison. You've got a bunch of like weird indie bands that I had found. And a lot of my friends, and I have a pretty tight little group, a lot of them, and even now, have that Spotify playlist saved to their libraries because they would ask me for it, and we kind of like I would end up turning them on to a lot of stuff. So I never like felt like I was weird for listening to it, and I think a lot of them liked it, but it's definitely different.
I didn't mean weird. I apologize. I didn't mean to say weird.
Oh,
it's just different.
No.
Yeah, different.
Yeah,
I didn't mean
I never felt different.
In a derogatory way, and by any means, I'm so sorry. Okay, so
now
let me ask you this. No, good, because I didn't mean it that way. I just meant, you know, the kids were like probably, you know, dancing to Britney Spears and all that. You know, you're playing the Beatles, the Beach Boys. What was your favorite Beach Boys album? What's your favorite Beach Boys album? I'm curious.
Oh, I mean, I would be totally ridiculous if I didn't say Pet Sounds. I mean, it's just...
Yes. That's the one.
I mean, it's just so legendary at this point. And I even had a pretty crazy moment recently where I was mixing one of the songs off of my most recent record, and we mixed the song in the same room that Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys recorded Pet Sounds, and it was like a crazy experience to me. I was sitting in the room like, oh my God, 50 years later, 60 years later, hit the same, you know, it's crazy. But anyway, Pet Sounds, for sure.
Yeah, the musicality in that is fabulous. I mean, just it's compared to what they were doing before, it just took it over the edge.
Oh, it's insane.
So,
what was your
first album solo, your first solo album?
My first solo album is my only solo album, actually, and it just came out a few months back. Yeah, it's called Never Knew the Night. That's right.
I thought you had other ones. I'm sorry. So that is Never Knew the Night is your first one, your first solo project on your own. You wrote everything,
solo
the music
project.
And the lyrics, everything, huh?
Yep. Produced by me, written by me, everything.
Good for you. Good for you. And I think I read something that you have some players on there that played with John Mayer and Harry Styles' band. And is that true? Oh, Maren Morris, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very lucky in that I sort of very much shot for the stars when I was starting this record and like trying to figure out who was going to play with me on it. And a lot of my literal favorite musicians in the world, which a lot of people don't even know that they're not like household names because they're session players and touring players. But a lot of my favorite players, namely Sean Hurley, who played the bass, Sterling on the drums, they ended up, you know, being on this record, and I ended up getting to meet them, and we ended up becoming friends, and many, you know, it was really incredible, both, you know, as someone who grew up watching them play, but also as someone who was always looking to learn to forge that kind of relationship. And I swear, like, every time I'm in the studio with Sean or Aaron or Tiffany, for that matter, who did a lot of background vocals, although I am producing and I'm, you know, I'm sort of leading the pack and like I'm playing them the songs, I'm also just like, I love jamming with those guys and I love sitting there and learning because there's so much to pick up, even if I'm not playing the same instrument as them or it's just a vocal thing. There's just so much musicality in the room that it's like, it's always an insane experience. So yeah, I was very lucky to have those people on this project, and hopefully on a lot more to come.
Yeah, well, it's got to suck, not only for you, but for a lot of my guests who just released new material and you can't go and play it live, you know?
Yeah.
But you still, have you done anything online for anybody to listen? I think you have a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, I do have a YouTube. That's actually really new. I just started that with the, you know, in the midst of COVID, because I was realizing like I'm not going to be able to play live. And so I've been doing that. And I've also been doing some cool little like intimate Zoom calls with my fans, which have been fun because we'll get to talk and like I'll play some songs, and you know, it's a bit of a different experience than being actually at a show, but it's still a really nice one. And then I've also done a few live videos, whether they're on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, for some of the venues that I was supposed to play that I, you know, obviously got canceled because of COVID.
Yeah.
So that's all been nice. It's just a different experience. And obviously, like you said, it's a total bummer not to be out there on the stage.
It's bittersweet to release new material and not be able to perform it for your fans or even for yourself.
Totally.
You know, as a performer, it just feels great to perform. So, you know.
Yeah, right. You know it exactly.
Everybody's lacking that and missing that big time. So I had a question. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Oh, I had a question. Oh, geez. No, why don't I write them down? I'm just having a conversation with you, honey. So, you know, whatever comes to mind.
No, I love it. No worries.
What I was going to ask you, Instagram. Are you big on Instagram?
I think out of all the social platforms, Instagram is the one for me. So that one's just at my name, at Simon Lunch, and I'm usually on there.
Because I'm new to it. I don't have any followers. I've got my son and my niece. And I tagged you, so I hope, I don't know how it works, so if I tagged you, I hope it went to your people. I don't know how it works. I'm just learning.
I can repost it to my people.
I told you, I'm old.
I love it. You've got to get on at some point, and you've made the leap, so there you go.
The YouTube is next, YouTube channel's next, so, I mean, I've got some stuff out there, but I want to do a YouTube channel just for the show, you know, but I don't know how to do that, so I'm working on that, that's next, so, and give me a little background about the new album, Never Knew Night. Do you have a little theme going, what brought on, was there inspiration behind it, or just songs that you've written over a period of time and decided to lay them down?
You know, I think they started sort of as a lot of my songs have started since I started writing, as sort of just songs that I was writing and I wasn't sure if they were all going to connect or not. And by the time I was about halfway through it and I had, you know, a few songs there that I really liked, I was sort of realizing that a lot of them at this point had this underlying sort of theme of both change and also loss of youth a bit that I think I was really going through and feeling when I was writing them, because it was such a turbulent moment in my life of, like, you know, which I think everyone experiences, whether you go to college or not, just like coming out of high school, coming out of childhood into adulthood, where, you know, a lot of your friends go separate ways, a lot of the things that you're really familiar with, you know, kind of cease to be, and life gets real different real fast. I realized, you know, whether it was told through a romantic lens or a different one, that a lot of the songs had that sort of underlying current flowing through them that really connected them together. So if I had to name one, you know, without giving too much away, I think absolutely be it. You know, I think my life is sort of just, like I said, music has been a part of it for so long that anything that I'm writing, it's sort of all part of like a huge journal, this big, you know, big continuum of entries, you know, that inherently go together because they're all about me or have happened to me or about someone close to me or whatever.
Nice. And how about the title, Never Knew the Night? Where does that come into play? What made you come up with Never Knew the Night? What's that relate to?
Yeah, that had two sort of meanings for me when I was trying to think about what I should call this sort of collection. And it was the very literal meaning of just the amount of time that I spent on this album that I don't think I've ever put so much time into songs in the studio. And being, you know, sort of working on this different timeline that I'd never worked on, of like getting up at 11, getting to the studio by 12, and like going in the studio, and there's obviously no windows there, and you're just locked in working, and you walk out at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and it's completely dark out, and there's no one around, and just like that really jarring experience, and just doing that every day for like years, you know, I think like a year and a half making this album, and being, you know, obviously having a great time, but also being very solitary and like working so much in these hours of the evening where I never had imagined I'd be working, and also where no one is up and there's just like this solitude and quiet. So that's the literal sort of meaning. And the more figurative one of like sort of going back to change and sort of like, you know, getting older and grappling with a lot of things that I just didn't even imagine would be problems for me, you know, or could affect me, and you know, never knew the night, sort of, to me, in a figurative way, sort of also represented that. So,
right. Cool.
Yeah.
Now I know you love all the songs on it, but which one do you love the most out of all? Which one are you most proudest of and most enjoy playing and performing on the album?
I think playing and performing, that's an easier question for me to answer. I love playing Grace, because the solo section on it, I can really branch out and I can have a great time. I also love, we play Lover often at the end of the set. And so like, it's a different experience every show, that song, because
right.
however the first part of the night has gone is like, it's all building towards that. So that's
right.
That's often one of my favorite too. And that can go a lot of different ways. But my favorite on the record is, I mean, it changes day to day. I think I'm ultimately, you know, I'm not someone who's easily satisfied with myself or the work I've done. And usually my favorite one is the one that I've just made, whichever one is most recent. And then
right.
A few weeks down the line, a few months down the line, I have some perspective and I go, oh, I could have done that better. Or, you know, whatever,
right.
Whatever little
right,
thing
right.
And it'll
right.
affect
but,
my perception of
but,
it.
Right, but you got to know when to stop to know when the song is done. Because like you said, you're walking down the street and you're like, shit, I should have added that. But you know what? It's done. It's done. Don't go back.
Oh,
I know for
100%.
Me, yeah, I know for me, like, I have a few... I don't want to talk about me, but I mean, I've got some music out too, but like each song, there's something that I like about each one, you know, like this, maybe
right.
this part I like more than that one, or maybe there's a something
right.
in that vocal that I cared for better in the other one. So it's hard to say when you do a project, like which one you love the most, because you love them all. You know, you wouldn't have did it if you didn't
yeah.
love them all, right? So, you know. Well,
yeah,
speaking
exactly,
of Grace,
exactly.
Speaking of Grace, why don't we play it? I'm dying to hear the lead now. I'm dying to hear that break in there, the lead guitar.
Love it.
All right, everybody. This is Simon Lunch, his new release from his album Never Knew the Night. Great. Enjoy it.
Standing there, dancing.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice.
What guitar
do you use for the solo?
A 1956 Fender Stratocaster.
I was going to say it sounded old. Oh, man, it was sweet.
Nice. Yeah, that's my main guitar. That thing gets a lot of play.
Nice job. Love that. Love it. You are so talented, my goodness. And you played the guitar, all the guitar parts, yes?
All the guitars, the acoustic, the electrics, did all the vocals, and then I produced the whole song as well.
Well, I was going to ask, what are you, a four octave range?
Yeah. As it does with us all, it goes a little bit back and forth depending on the day, but on a good day, yeah.
Nice. Well, I thought it was great. Oh my God, I hope it's getting received well. I hope people are hearing it, and I hope everybody enjoyed that right now. That was really great. Very nice. Very, very nice. Really great. So now, where are you promoting this now? I would think on Instagram, of course, and YouTube, anywhere else?
Yeah, Instagram, YouTube. Yeah. I mean, Spotify a lot. I think I would say just analytically, that's where my biggest audience for this record has been, which has been cool. And then, it's hard. Being an independent artist is a tricky thing. Any little way that you can get someone to hear the song is something that I'm trying to do. Whether that be, just like grassroots, like word of mouth, or whether that be through friends of friends, or whether that be talking to people like you and having good conversations about it, or playing it, physically on a Zoom call for people. It's an everyday thing. So far so good. So far it's been that tune's been received really well, which has been
right.
Nice.
Well, it's great. It should be. Now, Last December and Red Delicious, are those on this album too or no?
Red Delicious is the first track on the record. That's another one I really like. And then Last December is, that's a tune that is not on the album that I actually just released as sort of a post-album single, but it's also very Christmassy. And I think it's sort of the last of the songs that are going to be released that feel like they fit with that album. So even though it's not on it, I think it very easily could be, in that it sort of has that, undercurrent of change and loss of youth as its theme that I think works with all the other songs, and sort of stylistically
it's in
the same genre.
It's an original.
Since
this is December and it's Christmas Eve, why don't we give that one a spin?
Let's do it. That's why I made
all right.
it.
Excellent. Last December, Simon Lunch, Merry Christmas from Simon and Applause Radio Show. Hang on, here we go.
Like last December. lover's lover through the winter. I promise we can do better. Just come home like last December.
Your heart, I'm gonna kick their ass.
that was
beautiful. That was so sweet. Oh my God, is that a true story?
No, it's all true.
Wow.
I have trouble writing things that like aren't in some way at least real to me.
Well,
so.
You know what? I felt your pain in that song. I really did. I did. It was powerful. Really nice.
I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
That's my little Christmas offering. Yeah, where is she? I'm coming to get her. Break your heart. But she got me a great song. Yay! Sometimes I get some great music out. That's so you got to be grateful
exactly.
for that, right?
That's,
you know?
That's exactly how you have to think about it.
Exactly. Beautiful, beautiful. Wow, I hope that's getting some airplay somewhere. Oh, it's Christmas time. Come on, you know.
Yeah, it just came out. So far, so good. It's funny enough, that song, I had the very first line of it, just the Here Comes the Breeze, sort of like the first thing for probably a year and a half, and nothing ever came of it. And I was sitting at home, obviously, like we all are, and I've got my studio here, and I was thinking, man, wouldn't it be great to have something for the holidays? And I took that little start of the poem that I had and wrote off of it and then recorded the whole thing in about a week. And a week later, it came out, and here we are.
Nice. Well, it's really, really good. Do you do all your recording at home, like this song? Did you do at home, or did you go to an actual studio? I mean, you probably have Pro Tools or something, and you could do it
I do bits and pieces at different places. With this particular one, I did all of my guitars and vocals were at my studio, which is I say, you know. People say home studio, and you're never sure what to think. Mine is getting pretty built out now, which is cool. So it just becomes more, I'm more capable of doing a greater amount here, which is great for especially during COVID. But the bass and the drums, I did
funny enough, a remote session with my bass player, which is still a great time. We were on FaceTime, and then we have this program now where we can transmit audio. So he was at a studio, I was at my place, and we were I was producing while he was playing 300 miles away in LA, which was just as fun, and we had a great time. So yeah, bits and pieces of different places, and then on this one I played the piano. So that piano is actually my mom's aunt's old Steinway piano that I was talking about. That's that piano.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you if you used that one. Wow. Well, it's amazing what you could do nowadays. Isn't it amazing what you could do nowadays musically?
It's
crazy.
It's crazy. And it's great. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, so electronic these days that it's really, really easy. For me, I definitely, I grew up, you know, like listening to so much live stuff, and almost everything I record is live. So sometimes I hit a bit of a wall and I go, well, okay, I gotta go to the studio or go to a bigger studio and do this, like if it's drums or whatever. But you know, I reinvest in my space a lot, and as much as I can, I'll be collecting stuff. So now I can pretty well record a lot here, which is great, and it just allows you to be more creative. I mean, sheesh, you know.
I know. I wish I was more computer inclined. I really do. I really do. What's the easiest one to work with the computer?
Honestly, for someone who probably Logic.
I know nothing about computers. Easiest one to work with.
Probably Logic, I would say. Although, I'm a big Pro Tools user. I've been using Pro Tools since I was probably 14. And the only reason I started using it is because every studio you go to uses Pro Tools, so it's easy to transfer files. But to be so honest with you, the way that I look at the computer and a lot of the people who I work with who I just like this method is I look at the computer just like a virtual tape machine. I try not to like pay too much attention to what's going on in it and make sure I'm paying more attention to the analog realm. Pay attention to my gear, pay attention to my mics and where I'm putting them up, who's playing the instruments, how the performance is, and then everything just flows through the computer like it would flow through a tape machine. And then at the end, if there's anything that needs to be done in there, you know, I'll do it. But really, I try to be more focused on the analog realm of the music to just keep myself grounded, you know.
Yeah, I was using reel-to-reel, honey, way back in the day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, people still love that sound, let me tell you. I mean, some people record digitally and then run it back through a reel-to-reel just to get that warmth. So nothing wrong with that.
No. I lost what do you have a Novation? I want to get one of those.
I don't.
I want to get one of those. You just put down like a bar and then you just loop it throughout the whole song. You don't even have to play like throughout the whole song. It's crazy. I mean, I guess you could do that on any program, but this is a little cool machine. I think I'd be easier to work with that instead of a program.
Right.
I don't know.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's quick, and if you're going for quickness and just like riffing off stuff, that's the way.
Yeah, but the quality sounds great. I mean, on the demos I've seen anyway, but you know, I've never seen one live. I've only seen demos, but just
fabulous. And as you know, there's not a wrong way to make music. I mean, everyone is different, it's all about what works for your workflow. And if something works, you go with that. You know, something makes
your
life easy and makes you feel creative. Like, there's not a wrong way.
Right. Well, I'm loving everything that we played so far. I'm Red Delicious. What's that about?
Red Delicious. That one took me a long time. It started, and I must have made 4 recordings of this song over the span of the time I was making the record, which was, like I said, about a year and a half. And at first I just had the verse, and I never could come up with the right chorus part. And we recorded it with the wrong chorus part multiple times. And then I was sitting in my space in my studio one night towards the end of the record-making process, and I've got the groove up on Pro Tools, and I've got everything we've recorded, and I just went like, what if we just change this one chord in the chorus? And I changed the one chord, and I went, there's the inspiration. and the whole chorus just sort of happened. And the song for me was very much, you know, it's a little bit self-deprecating in the verses, you know. It's a bit like about loneliness and being pretty solitary and like the first line is tonight love's in the air, but I'm not going anywhere. And that's just a feeling that I could relate to so heavily while I was making this project that it felt so right. And then the chorus becomes this sort of like fantasy about what you maybe wish was going on, or the things that you might be sort of have in the back of your head as you know, whether you're dreaming about them or just a little momentary fantasy or whatever. So that's really that song. And that one's a fun one too. Like I would call that the first real single off the record. And mm-hmm. once I got it, like I said, it took me a long time, but once I got that chorus, I was always very proud of it. So
I wanted to ask you another question. I wanted to play it, but I want one more question. When you write, it's kind of a stupid question because it's, whatever happens. So when you write, what comes to you first? Is it the lyric, the melody, or the music?
You know, like you said, you know, it's whatever happens. But it's a necessary question. I think a lot of people want to know the answer to that because it's interesting. And I think, to be honest with you, it's different with each song. And
exactly.
Oftentimes, the thing that I can say happens for me most, if any of those options, is that I'll be playing something on the guitar or on the piano, and I will simultaneously sing the lyric and play the right set of chords at the same time. And something will click about it, and I'll go, oh my God, that works. And that'll be the start of the song. Like, it just takes one line and one little chord progression. It could be literally a bar to work right and like give you that feeling, you know, in your chest of like, oh yes, this is it. And then the whole thing comes from that. But to be fair, you know, I love poems. I love writing. I'm consistently journaling. So like sometimes I'll have, like I said, this last December, just a singular line that I've had in a journal somewhere as part of a poem that will end up fitting perfectly within a song. So it can happen like that too. But the thing that's important to me is that when the lyrics and the chords and the melody are coming together, they just got to give me that feeling, that feeling that I, you know, is the reason I make music, and that I think most people do, of just like, oh yes, this is it. It's totally indescribable, but like feels right.
When it happens and it clicks, it's great. Yep.
It's the greatest thing ever. I try and explain it to people all the time, and it's totally unexplainable until you feel it. But it's like you said, it's the freaking greatest thing ever.
Yep. Well, I want to hear Red Delicious. I'm dying to hear this. So Red Delicious by Simon Lunch. I can't wait. Let's check this one out. I'm enjoying all of them. Hold on. Here we go.
Tonight, love is in the air, but going anywhere. I've been stuck in this place since she left me here, but tonight I wanna find somebody to call mine. If I could sleep, I'd only dream of simple things like dancing down the street with you, darling. To breathe, let's be selfish and love like we're 17 and poison all my deepest dreams with your little red delicious. You make it seem so sweet.
I like that one too. Wow.
Thank you. That's a fun one to play.
I can't believe how talented you are. It's amazing. At 22, I mean, just goes to show you, you keep playing and wow, man, your voice, the music, I mean, everything, the writing, and it's just fabulous. My God, wonderful. I loved it.
Appreciate that.
Don't hate.
You made my night.
Oh, no, you made mine. Now, I hate to ask you this because I got to ask you, I'm an old broad here. What does watermelon sugar high mean? The reason I mentioned because the Red Delicious kind of, I don't know why it correlated with me, but not that it sounded like it, just the Red Delicious. I just want to know what watermelon sugar high means.
I've obviously people have had their speculations about this.
I don't know what it means. It's not like a slang term or anything,
so it doesn't have a single meaning amongst the youth. But listen, I have to say that I do see where people are coming from when they have speculated that it may have something to do with the pleasures of giving and or receiving oral sex, as Harry, you know, obviously lots of people have asked Harry Styles that, and he's declined to give a definitive answer.
Right.
But I can see where people are getting that from, definitely.
Or it could have been when he was writing it, and something just came when somebody said, "Oh, I got a watermelon sugar high," and the melody came, "Watermelon sugar high," you know, like.
Right, and it works, and then you can't argue with it. Like, if you second-guess it, then you're already messing up.
Right, because it fits.
You're right.
Because, you know, yesterday was originally scrambled eggs instead of yesterday, and he changed that. So it's like a word can bring a melody, you know. It's so crazy, when you're writing.
It absolutely can. And that's that feeling that we were just talking about of, like, when it clicks, and that might be it, you know.
Right.
And it's hard to fight that. It's hard to fight that.
Yeah, I was in a food store one time, and this is the craziest thing. This is ridiculous. And they said, "I need a mop in aisle 13. And the way he said it, I just said, "I need a mop in aisle 13. I need it fast if you know what I mean." I mean, the melody just came to me. It was so weird, and I'll never forget that. It stuck in my head, and that happened like 30 years ago.
Right. When it works, it works. And then you just got to let it happen. You gotta let that be a thing, because if it's not, then, like, you second-guess everything, and nothing ever happens, and you never get that feeling. That's awesome.
There's been other phrases too that have come to where somebody has said something funny, and it's like, I not funny, but the way the connotation of the way they phrased it, just the melody comes to you, you know, like that's why I was asking you how it comes to you, because that's what happens to me sometimes, you know.
Right. It can just be something that simple, like the cadence with which something is delivered, excuse me, can do that. And, like, all of a sudden, there it is. You know? It doesn't matter how ridiculous the phrase is. Who cares?
Exactly.
If it gave you that idea, it's just as important as anything else.
Right, and you can change the words later. As long as you get that melody, that's the thing. It's that melody and that hook. You need that melody and hook. So we just released Never Knew the Night in September. So obviously we're not touring. So are we starting a new work for a new album? Obviously you're writing all the time, so you must be writing, right?
Well, yeah, it's tough because, you know, I was so excited to just tour this album, and so much I was looking forward to being a little bit more of a social butterfly and, you know, talking to people and playing on stage when I've been so secluded for the most part making the record. But, you know, the first few weeks of COVID, I was thinking to myself, I'm going, all right, I'm not going to turn on Pro Tools. I'm just going to give myself a little break. Like, I can't, I need it. And sure enough, about 4 days in, I was having this idea
And first it goes on my voice memos in my phone, and I had, you know, 10 or 20 voice memos of this little idea. And then I go, oh my God, don't turn on Pro Tools, don't do it. And 20 minutes later, Pro Tools was on. And ever since then, it's like, you know, I'm writing new stuff and I'm demoing new stuff. And I don't know, I couldn't tell you at this moment, will that stuff be for the next record? Will it be a little EP thing? I'm not sure. But I can't stop myself from making music. So it's, happening. And and having Pro Tools in the house and having the microphone like literally 10 feet away from me, it's that much more, makes me that much more inclined just to go for it on any given day.
Well, this is a new question I've been asking people. I just started last night because I came up with one. So what is your resolution for the new year?
I honestly haven't even thought about it yet, but you saying it is good because that means I need to think about it. And honestly, I'm inclined to pick something totally non-musical just because my musical, I have so many musical resolutions, right? Like all the time, every day it's like, I'm dissecting myself and where I can be better and like all of those things that it becomes self-deprecating to a degree, and it becomes, you know, there's just so many of them. How could I pick one? I know in that regard, I know where I want to be. I know what I want to sound like. I know who I am. I always need to be better. But I would, if as a non-musical thing, I think it's easier. And I would say, I think, you know, something I was trying to do prior to COVID, just because I'm, you know, I didn't go to college. I'm a little bit different for a 22-year-old. I was like, you know what, like, you need to just talk to more people, like, just be a bit more of a social butterfly. And I think that's probably would be my continued resolution this year. It's just talk to more people, because I can, you know, I think a lot of artists can get into this mode where they're sitting in their studio.
Right, you're always working. So no wonder you can't talk to people. You're always creating. You're busy.
Right, and like my guitar is like my best friend. Like it always listens to you. So it's easy to sit in the studio and be totally content with yourself, never seeing the outside world and never talking to anyone but your closest, you know, 2-3 friends or, you know, whoever, your family, and you're totally okay. But that being said, I do think that it does make your life better to talk to a stranger once a week. Because sometimes those conversations, sometimes you come out of them, you're like, that was weird. And sometimes you come out of it thinking that person's an asshole. But sometimes you come out of it thinking, like, that gave me, like, some sort of weird little hope in humanity that I didn't have 20 minutes ago.
Right. Well, I was surprised you're saying that your resolution is not focusing on music, where my resolution is that I want to focus more on the music. I want to try and get and put some music out. It's been a while, so I want to try and do that. I say it, but I don't stick to resolutions. I'm not a resolution person, so whenever I made one, I never stuck to it. So,
right. I mean, the thing is,
I would like to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think a lot of people expect me to say something musical, which is why I wouldn't. But I think the thing is, and the thing I've been realizing is, like, music is so ingrained into my person and who I am that I don't need to make any sort of resolution in order to make music. It just happens. And music and life are totally inseparable to me at this point. So I'm always thinking about it. I'm always doing it. I always know, you know, like I said, sometimes to a totally self-deprecating degree, I'm picking myself apart. This is where I need to be better, whatever. All that stuff is so inherent that it's actually the living of life that I'm a little bit more, I think, interested in.
My problem is time. I don't have time. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Time. That's my problem.
Time is the most valuable asset. I always talk to my friends about that. I mean, you can't get it back. There's already so little of it. You know, life is fleeting. Change changes, you know,
can't fight it. It's that there's a lot of sad ways to look at that, but also
right.
There's a lot you can do with the little bits of time we have. So
yeah. Well, since Christmas is in 2 days, what are we doing for Christmas? Anything good, or is it going to be a quiet one this year? What are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be all good. I'm probably just I'm going to spend the morning with my mom and dad for sure. I'm pretty sure my mom is currently making some of my favorite cinnamon rolls, so I'm looking forward to that. As I do every year, and I'm sure there will be a nice feast for the three of us. I'm an only child, so we've got a little family, but a good family, and a lot of my extended family lives in LA, so I don't think we'll be seeing them this year, but it should still be totally wonderful.
No, exactly. No matter what, it's going to be great. Is San Francisco shut down at all, or I know they're talking about shutting down California. Is it affecting San Francisco or no?
You know, I'm not the most up to date on the most recent shutdown orders and what it affected, mostly just because I honestly have been in my studio so much that I don't even have a need to go out to any non-essential business. So I'm
you're already shut down. You're like, we're already shut down. We never leave the house. We're working.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not 100% up to you, but I'm pretty sure that San Francisco and most of the Bay Area is for the most part completely shut down, except for, food, takeout, and, essential work, which is,
right.
It's a shame that it's gotten to this point again, but I know California is not doing well right now,
Right.
The ICUs are full, which is super sad.
It is. I know. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any advice for any kids that love music and do have some type of talent and aren't unleashing it? Any advice for them?
I would say just don't be afraid to be yourself. And, I think, we sort of touched on this at the beginning of the conversation, but there's not a right or a wrong way. You don't need to have lessons. You don't need, just there's that feeling that you get when something comes out and it's reflective of your person and who you are and something that's real to you. And that's the only reason anyone makes art and music is the same way. And I think if you're getting that feeling, or if you think that feeling exists in you, nothing else matters. Go for that. Because that's what makes it worth it.
Right. And parents, if you can, get your kid an instrument. You never know what they have inside them.
Absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. Even if you just have it sitting in the closet, sitting in the corner of the room, because kid might pick it up. You might not even need to prompt that.
Right. Now, if you didn't have the piano and your mom's guitar in the closet, do you think that any of this would even have came to be?
I couldn't tell you for sure. I have no idea. Like I said, I was already, I was listening to so much music too that it was there. But that definitely made it easy.
Yeah.
It meant that every day when I was growing up and I walked downstairs, when I woke up in the morning, I would see a piano. Even if I didn't touch it, there it was.
Play me, right?
Yep.
It was calling out to play me. Oh, Simon, this was great. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure getting to know you. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I love the music. It's fabulous.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Thanks so much for having me, Joanne. I hope I'm gonna share your Instagram post so that you get a nice little kickstart on there. And I hope that your Instagram savvy continues to grow.
Well, I've just learned. I did it. I think I've only posted 3 things. That's it. So, and I don't know how to.
It's doing great.
I don't know how to adjust it. It looks like the writing is above the picture. So I've got to figure this all out. I don't know. So I apologize for that. If you saw it, I apologize for that. So I'm working on it. But, well, thank you again. And listen, tomorrow night, My family said I could have an hour, and I'm going to play all the Christmas music of our guests that we had this month. So, and I'm going to ask people if they want to do a wish somebody a Merry Christmas to give us a call. And we're going to play all the new Christmas music that we played this month, because we played a lot of new Christmas music, and I can't wait to play last December again.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you liked it, and I'm always appreciative of a replay. That's thank you.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best and good luck. I can see you're going places. As soon as this world opens up again, oh, man, it's yours. Go for it.
Thanks, Joanne.
You know?
Well, have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful rest of your Christmas Eve evening.
Yeah, exactly. You too. Simon, thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Be safe out there and keep the music coming. It's great. Love it. Love it. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, everybody. Simon Lunch, thank you so much. Take care, Simon. Wow. Very 22 years old. Wow. Just amazing. Amazing. And again, folks, it doesn't matter what the instrument is. Just buy it and put it in the house. Had my mom had the money to buy an instrument in my house, I guarantee I would have been playing. I used to play on the pots and pans, thinking it was a drum set. And we did have one guitar that two strings, maybe two or three strings. I don't know where it came from, but oh damn, did I play the shit out of that. But just do it. You don't know what your child has inside of them, and music can make somebody so happy. It's just a great release and stress, everything. It's just beautiful when you are the actual artist and making music. There's something about making music and writing new stuff, and when people love it, it's even better, because then you know that you're doing something right. So it was great. Thank you so much, Simon. I loved Grace. I loved Last December, Red Delicious. That's off of his new album, Never Knew the Night. Check him out on YouTube, Simon Lunch, L-U-N-C-H-E. It was not a typo. I did not spell it wrong. It is Simon Lunch, L-U-N-C-H-E. I know everybody probably thought I did a typo, but I did not. Because I can't see when I type, so I told you, Simon, I'm an old broad. What can I say? Anyway, thank you again. And if you guys are sitting around, if you need something, if you got nothing to do, come do something. Listen to us, and I'm going to be playing all these great, fabulous songs that we played this month for Christmas tomorrow night. And if you want to call in and wish somebody a Merry Christmas, please do so. Why not, right? Call in with somebody a Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you to Simon. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWV Wines in South Africa, Keys for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions from Noka Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, Cloyden Designs in New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC in New York, The Observer Newspaper in Kearny, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, and H21 Hand Sanitizer. Welcome, welcome, welcome aboard. And once January, we have a bunch of new sponsors. Once we get those, I'm going to do a recording of it, and it'll sound much better than coming from me. Reading these off every night, I would much rather you guys listen to them in a professional way than coming from me, because you know I'm just sitting here having a good time. So, but tomorrow is, again, we're going to do the Christmas Eve special, playing music, and then on the 27th of Sunday, we've got Connor Riley, the CEO of Lexi Beauty, and it's a luxury beauty tools, and it's doing fabulous. And Sterling Meyer, she's an author. She's going to be telling us how to deal with what we're going through right now with the pandemic and how to come out of it too and deal with it afterwards. And January, oh my, hold on, you know the calendar isn't by me. Hold on, I'm sorry. Sorry for the moans and groans. Still having some pain issues here. Oh boy, yes, yes, yes. Andy Watts, blues musician, he's going to be on. Wink and Sandy Martindale, I can't wait to talk to them. We're going to have them on for a somewhat of an Elvis special. Because Wink and Sandy knew Elvis very well. And Jay Michaels, program director of many, many, many radio stations down in the South. I believe Austin, actually. Then Bermuda Schwartz, music producer Bermuda Schwartz, if the name sounds familiar. He's worked with Weird Al. He's done all Weird Al's music. So that's going to be cool. I guarantee he's a pisser. And then on the 16th, this is exciting too, Johnny Whitick is going to be on. And you know him from Family Affair and Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. And by no coincidence, total coincidence actually, I shouldn't say by no, this was not planned, Kathy Garber, who played Sissy, will be on as well from Family Affair. And we also have some great other folks coming up. I haven't written them down in the calendar yet, but they are coming up. Our calendar will be up probably the first week of January on applauseradioshow.com. And I thank you again for listening. And if you're not going to join us tomorrow, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And, you know, the greatest gift we could give each other this year is life, and by giving life is by staying home and not spreading our germs. Unfortunately, we don't know what we have, so who has it, whatever. I mean, you'll be fine, and you may not, you don't know it, but you have it, and then go see your 80-year-old grandmother, and God, I wouldn't want to live with that anyway, but yeah, the greatest gift we could give each other is life this year. So, oh, God, but you know what? The greatest gift we get this year is life. Oh, sorry, that came to head. You know, I got the music to rest, so I apologize for that. So, anyway, thank you so much, Simon. Simon Munch, love the music. Thank you, and be kind, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.